Welcome to the Harrison Faith Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor Brian Herring. It's our prayer this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
This past week, we started our new series on Believe, and we're going through the Apostles' Creed. Creed just simply means, it's just a word that basically means believe. It's what the apostles believed. The apostles didn't write the Apostles' Creed, but it was based out of the teachings that they had. And what made the Apostles' Creed and so many creeds important is that it helped set a standard of belief of what the early church believed. So everybody kind of made sure they believed the same thing by reciting these Apostles' Creed. It also helped people who could not read and learn the scriptures be able to memorize the basic tenet of belief so that they would not be drifted into false doctrines and false teachers as they were so rampant in that time. It's a good thing they're not rampant in these days, right? Yeah, there's just as many rampant false teachers, false doctrines right now. You don't have to look very far to get into it. And Brother Jeff Kinley actually touched a little bit on that this past week about, you know, be careful about going to websites and different things because no website says, hey, this is a heretic. You know, and this one over here says this is a false prophet, and this one over here is real, legitimate people who've actually done training and stuff. So you've got to be careful about what you intake. And so one of the reasons, we've kind of gone through our 16 fundamental truths on a Wednesday night, but we wanted to talk about the basic beliefs of what we as followers of Christ, no matter whether you're Assembly of God, whether you're Methodist, Baptist, what all followers of a Christ truly believe. And so we started last week with, I believe in God the Father, creator of heaven and earth, that God created everything, so therefore he has everything under control. So today we're going to start in, and we are going to talk about the second part, which is, I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. Listen, Jesus wasn't or isn't just a merely great teacher. And many people in the world believe that Jesus was not the Messiah. He wasn't the Son of God. And other religions may believe in Jesus, but they don't accept him as the Messiah, as the Son of God. And they don't believe in the virgin birth. And they just believe he was a great teacher. He was a great moral teacher. So therefore, because he was a great moral teacher, you should follow the teachings of Jesus, but they do not believe that you should accept him as the Son of God. So that's why we believe it's so important that we learn exactly why it is so important to the church that we believe in the virgin birth. Why is it so hard for people to believe this? Well, think about it. I have a 15-year-old daughter named Madison who happens to be here. And she loves that I'm calling her out in the middle of service because it's her favorite thing for me to do is point her out and draw all attention and eyes on her on the third row up here. But I will tell you that, can you imagine a 15-year-old girl betrothed to be married to a man named Joseph, a carpenter, and all of a sudden, during the betrothal process, which was a lot more explicit, a lot further along than anything we would do here, and all of a sudden, his soon-to-be wife, his espoused wife, contract is written and already done wife, comes to him and says, hey, listen, you may not believe this, but I'm pregnant. But hey, don't worry. I haven't been with anybody else. I've been pure. I'm still a virgin. Yeah, can you imagine? What can you even imagine during that time and age? They didn't have the science that would help get someone pregnant. They didn't have special procedures that would allow someone to get pregnant outside of natural means. And so you got to imagine that Joseph was so conflicted in the concept and the idea that this soon-to-be wife, this 15-year-old girl, had been faithful to him, and yet she's pregnant, and she's telling him, don't worry, it's God's baby. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of far-fetched when you think about it that way. For us, we just have always accepted it. You know, we were, at least I was indoctrinated from an early age. As a kid, Jesus was born of a Virgin Mary. There was nativity scenes. There was plays that all dramatize this. And it's just a matter of fact for us who were raised because we have learned that from birth. But for people who have not grown up in the Christian faith and have not grown up in church, for them to accept the idea of the virgin birth takes a big step in faith, because it really is hard to understand how this could be. It was really even hard for them to understand, to the point that angels had to be sent. Not, you know, in the Old Testament, they constantly sent prophets. But in the New Testament, they had to send angels to say, listen, this is real. This is really happening. Because even Mary says, like, how can this be? I don't know a lot about things. I've only been on this earth 15 years, but this doesn't seem like this is supposed to happen this way. So he sends the angel, and the angel says, no, this is exactly what's supposed to happen. This was a big idea and a far-fetched conversation for many people. Jesus, being born of a virgin is such a big concept that even when Joseph heard about it, he's thought to himself, he's like, listen, either she's cheated on me, she's going crazy, I don't know. But he thought to himself, how can I put her away privately so that I don't embarrass her? And it's fitting that we talk about it today, because, I mean, Christmas is only 84 days away, right? Yeah, you're like, thanks, Pastor Brian, for reminding you of that. But why is the virgin birth so important? Why is it so important that we harp in on this point? Couldn't he have come through any means? Couldn't he have come through any line? But I think it's important. First of all, I think the Old Testament and the New Testament both talk about this. They prophesied about the baby being born and conceived of a virgin. And so for the scriptures to maintain the purity of what was going on, it was so important that we understand this. In Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, it says, all right then, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child, and she will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. This same thing's quoted again in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, when it says, look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. The scriptures clearly proclaim that Mary, or well, not Mary, but a virgin would give. And Mary happened to be that chosen one. You know, here it is on one side. You are chosen to be special, set aside to give birth to the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us. And on the other side, you have to deal with all the scrutiny and all the gossips and all the people that plainly just straight up call you a liar. You know, it's hard, because isn't that the way life is sometimes, that it seems like everybody tells us we're blessed, but we're kind of leaning sometimes on this side over here where it doesn't feel very blessed at times. And Mary chose it above all women to give birth to the Messiah. In Luke chapter 1, which I told you to go there, beginning in verse 26, it kind of illustrates the story of what goes on with Mary. In verse 26, it says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man, to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David, which was also important. And Gabriel appeared to her and said, greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you. To which everybody who saw the angel Gabriel pop up and say, greetings, favored woman, whoever you are, you'd be like, this is going to be good. He says, greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you. And confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. You ever think about that? She's got to be thinking, you're calling me favored and stuff. I don't know who you're talking to. I don't know who you meant to go to, but I think you misdialed. I think you phone dialed me. I think you pocket dialed me. I think you did something else. Can I get an amen? Okay. Don't be afraid, Mary. The angel told her, you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call his name Jesus. And he will be very great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. And he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. Amen. This is a good word. This is a great word. For mankind, this was the difference. After 400 years of silence, nothing said, nothing done, no prophet has come forth, no word from God, no new news. We get desperate when we don't hear God in a week. We're like, God, where are you? I've been praying, Lord. You know? We get desperate after a moment. 400 years of silence, no word, nothing from heaven, no new books are written, nothing. And all of a sudden, an angel appears to this little girl, 15 years old, maybe 14, because they say they believe that she was around 15 or 16 when she gave birth to Jesus. Would put her around 14 or 15 years old at the time. Just such a young girl, and nothing been said, and all of a sudden an angel appears and said, you're going to be favored. And no wonder she was confused, because nothing has been said for 400 years. And so as we get into this and we hear this, you can only imagine the response of Mary when she asked the question in verse 34, but how can this happen? I'm a virgin. I have not been with another man. I have not been with anybody. How can this even happen? I'm not quite understanding. Are you sure you've got the right person? The angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High God will overshadow you. And so the baby will be born, will be holy, and will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has come pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she will conceive a son and is now in her sixth month, for the word of God will never fail. You can bank on it. The word of God will never fail. And Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. And the angel left her. Can you comprehend the story as it's building? This is a good Easter sermon. It's a good Christmas story, but we're not at Christmas. We're just almost at Christmas, just a few weeks away. I won't count the weeks down. I'm getting looks over here. But the whole concept of this was hard for them to believe. It was hard for Mary to understand. Even Joseph in Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, says, he was having trouble figuring out what to do. He had fear of understanding and fear of marrying Mary, wondering, should he do it? Should he not? Should he put her away? And the angel appears to him and says, what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Matter of fact, in two verses earlier, in verse 13, it says, states that the virgin was to be found with child through the Holy Spirit. Galatians 4:4 says, God sent his son to be born of a woman. Here it is. So Joseph was kind of misunderstanding what was going on. Mary was misunderstanding. But this was God's big plan, and this is huge. For in modern day times, it's many people believe, just like a lot of things, that because so many stories come out about things that happened in the old times, that they thought this was just a myth, this was just some story that carried on. And so when people talk about it, they say there's no way possible that a virgin could have given birth to a son. She must have been unfaithful. So either one of you, as a matter of fact, did not ascribe to the virgin birth. You could only really believe two things. Either Mary was unfaithful or Jesus is a bold-faced liar. And neither one is true. We believe that she was born, Jesus was born of a virgin. The scriptures teach us that Jesus was fully human and with a physical body like ours, and he received this from his mother Mary, yet he was also fully God with the eternal sinless nature. He was full God and full human. He wasn't half man and half God. He wasn't a demigod. He was 100% God, and he was 100% man, and we have to understand this, and this is because of the way that he was born. In John chapter 1, verse 14, it says, so the word became human, or became flesh, and made his home among us, and he was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and the only Son. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, without question, like that. There's no question to be made. It's without question. Without question, this is the great mystery of our faith. Christ was revealed in a human body and vindicated by the Spirit and was seen by the angels and announced to the nations. He was believed in throughout the world and taken to heaven in glory. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 through 17 says, because God's children are human beings made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil who had the power of death. Amen? Only in this way could he set free all who have lived their faith as slaves to the fear of dying. We also know that the Son did not come to help the angels. He came to help the descendants of Abraham. Therefore, it is necessary for him to be made in every respect like us, his brothers and sisters, so that he could be a merciful and faithful high priest before God. And then he could offer a sacrifice that would take away the sins of the people. This is what he became. He became the perfect sacrifice and laid his life down willingly for us. And then he became the perfect scapegoat when he escaped death, hell, and the grave, which that's going to be covered in next week by Pastor Caleb. But I'll tell you, there is something exciting to know that he was born of a virgin. Jesus had no sin nature, and he was not born in sin. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 26 says, he is the kind of high priest we need because he is holy and blameless, unstained by sin. He has been set apart from sinners and has been given the highest place of honor in heaven. You know, when we study through the scriptures, we learn this, that the sin nature comes through the Father. It comes through the Father. It was important that the Holy Spirit came and that he was born without any sin nature. In Romans chapter 5, verse 12, it says, when Adam sinned, sin entered into the world. Adam's sin brought death. So death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. The sin nature coming through our father and Adam being the first man that he was descended in. And because Adam sinned, all that sin fell on those after him. In verse 17, it says, for the sin of one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. For all who received it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. Going to verse 19, it says, because the one person disobeyed God, many became sinners. But because of one other person's obey God, many will be made righteous. Because the sin nature comes through man, God sent and sent the Holy Spirit upon a virgin so that she could conceive a son, Emmanuel, the Savior of us all. It had to be made this way. It had to come through this way so that we could be pardoned from our sin forever, so that we would not live and be indebted for sin, that we could request of the Father, we could believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we could be saved. This is the foundation of our belief. We have to believe this. This has to be the understanding of us. We cannot deviate from the idea that Jesus was born of a virgin. This is a core foundational belief for all of those who claim to be Christ's followers. The virgin birth circumvented the transmission of sin's nature, and allow the eternal God to become the perfect man. That's what happened. The importance of the virgin birth is seen in at least three areas. First of all, it shows that the salvation ultimately must come from the Lord. Salvation has to come from the Lord. It has to come from him. It can't come through works, at least any man boasts. You can't earn it. You can't do enough. You can't pay enough. You can't give enough. There's nothing you can do. It can only come from the Lord. This virgin birth could have happened no other way except through a virgin, through God coming up on a woman and making her give birth to the Son, Emmanuel. The virgin birth of Christ is an unmistakable reminder of salvation can never come through human efforts, but only can come through God. The second thing is the virgin birth made possible the uniting of full deity and full humanity in one person. Again, 100% God, 100% man. He became the embodiment of all of humanity and yet the embodiment of God. He became all things so that we could have that. Listen, can you imagine? Just alone with the virgin birth is just a miraculous birth. It's an outstanding birth. It's one of the things that we as believers at Christmas, we say this is why we celebrate that Emmanuel came, born of a virgin, so that God gave his perfect gift so that we could have eternal life because of this perfect gift. At the end of service, I'm going to do something unusual. I'm going to take up an offering. Because one of the things, and this is just timing is everything, is that if you know that there's Christmas lights going all over, they're working on a new thing to have Christmas lights go all over the square. And one of the things we have is they have a little bitty old kind of Walmart bought nativity scene that they stopped using because it's gotten so decrepit and stuff like that. And so there's not going to be a nativity scene. So I was talking to some of the leaders who was doing this, and we had the ability to help do a nativity scene, but it's going to cost a lot of money to make it match everything else and make it full life size. And so I think it's in the ballpark. I've got the invoice. It's going to be around $15,000, and we can't do this by ourselves. So I've sent out an email to other pastors and asked them to help. And maybe we don't do the whole thing, but if we do something, because I don't want to be a town that is like so many that's gone by the wayside that doesn't support the real meaning of Christmas, that says that it was about Emmanuel coming, being born of a virgin, and given the gift of so many that shepherds showed up at his birth so that to show that he was here for all humanity, not just the wealthy, but he came to the lower class. And then, as we know, a few years later, as he was a young boy, wise men showed up. And so we want to be able to be a part of this. And so I want our church to be givers in this and be helper in this and helping the community and not let us because let me just tell you. The government and the state, they can't give towards a religious thing, but we can. And so we're going to do that. But I think it matches perfect because we want to shout from the loudest roof and from the highest mountain that Jesus Christ was born. And we celebrate that at Christmas. I mean, Christmas trees are great and your kids have Santa Claus, that's wonderful. But the tangible reason why Jesus Christ is here needs to be the ultimate and the thing that we celebrate the most and put to the very forefront of our belief. And we want it everywhere we go. We want to show it. And we want to be a town that celebrates that. That's what we want to be known for, a town that believes in Jesus Christ and that believes in reaching the lost. Anyway, that's the side point. That's my veer off. Number three, the third reason, the virgin birth also makes possible Christ's true humanity without inherited sin. He didn't have sin. Because of the virgin birth, he was not born into sin like you and I. It was the only way because everybody since Adam was born into sin. There's no getting away from it. There's no way around it. Everyone since Adam was born into sin until Jesus came. And he became the embodiment of man for us and yet the embodiment of God for us and walked and dwelt among us perfectly and sinless, all because of this virgin birth. It is a core belief that we believe. In John chapter 3, verse 16 through verse 21, it's one we know so well that I have to read it because I'll read it in King James. If I don't, I'll recite it in King James. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him, but anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. And the judgment is based on this fact. God's light came into the world, but people love the darkness more than the light. For their actions were evil. And All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it for fear their sins will be exposed. But those who do what is right come to the light so that others can see that they are doing what God wants. It all comes down to belief. We throw around the word believe so carelessly. Like, I believe in Santa Claus. I believe in the tooth fairy. I believe in all these different things. We hold up our sign at sporting events saying, we believe. And we believe in a team that lets us down. But this word right here in John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that anyone who believes, is such a stronger point. It's such a stronger connotation of what God is trying to do for a man. This word right here, this believing in Jesus Christ in John 3:16, uses such a much stronger term. It implies a commitment to trust, understanding that actions based on that trust must follow. Because I believe, my actions will follow. Because I believe, I'm going to live according to Scripture. Because I believe and follow after His teaching and follow after Him. Because I believe first, then I do. I can't be saved by my actions. I can't. What one day, as we're studying on Wednesday nights over what's going on in the world and how Jesus is going to come back, one day that trumpet's going to blow and the rapture of the church is going to go forth. And I'm not going to stand before God and say, but I served in church. But I wrote a check. But I did this. He's going to say, depart from me. I didn't know you. It's only those who believe and received Him and started following after Him. Those are the ones who will inherit eternal life. Because that's what it is. For God so loved the world. For this is how much God loved the world. He gave His one and only Son so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life.